Hello, and welcome back to Artbreaker. My name is Mark, and I'm the publisher of the Climactic Collective, and it's been a while since we've released our last episode on this feed. We do have some great stuff in the works, though. I'm very excited to be bringing you Artbreaker episodes, sort of cut down and streamlined and rearranged versions of some longer interviews we've done with filmmakers and musicians and creatives of all stripes across some other programs on the Climactic Collective. But for today, I've got you something which is very special and very nice. It's a panel discussion from the amazing show Talking in This Climate, which pulls together a group of academics, working sustainability professionals, and former and current students to talk about climate communications in a variety of ways. And this particular episode I thought was perfect for Artbreaker because it's all about pop culture and media, how it affects us on various levels. So discussed in this episode are a song and a short film. And I'll now hand over to the creators of this episode to take you from here, Tim and Rosie. Thank you for sharing this episode with us. Enjoy.
Down by the Nora where the river runs dry is a story that'll bring a teardrop to your eye. Aye, aye, where the long map used to call the wall a weapon may bring.
Welcome to Talking in This Climate, a series where we discuss the different aspects of talking about climate change and environmental issues. We're a mix of environment students, graduates, and environmental communication professionals who are really interested in how we talk about climate in this climate. Each episode, we'll dive into a different theme, looking at things like language, the media, communicating through frames and metaphors, Indigenous perspectives on environmental issues, communicating across disciplines, issues of trust and misinformation, emotion, and how we can ultimately strive to become more mindful listeners, communicators, and agents of change. We're so excited for this journey and so grateful that you're here traveling with us. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of Talking in This Climate. As you can probably hear, I'm not Tim. This is Rosie steering this episode a little bit. Still accompanied by everyone else though. Today we're taking the episode in a bit of a different direction and looking at different types of climate change communication mediums. So scientists may be the experts on climate change, but they are rarely who we think of when we think about leaders inspiring behaviour change. Greta Thunberg and young school strikers are a more powerful source of inspiration for a lot of people right now. And even celebrities are starting to make a name for themselves in this space, despite having no expertise in the discipline. This isn't just about fake news. It seems that facts and the idea of there being the truth is becoming less and less of a priority. However, rather than sticking to the binary conversation of facts or fiction or objective-subjective, we want to explore this shift from a different perspective. We want to ask, what else, as well as the facts, is important to us? What other motivations do we prioritize? So in preparing for this episode, we shared non-academic examples of climate change communications that have had a formative impact on us and how we experience environmentalism. A collection as diverse as this group, we encourage you to check out the playlist for all the links. But today we'll be focusing on just two. First is Yorala, a track by First Nations choir Spinifex Gum.
Down by the Nora where the river runs dry is a story that'll bring a teardrop to your eye. Song secret as a colourful sky. He could sing and make the black heavens cry. When Kali out of that would nourish that land, he held thunder in the palm of his hand. The red dust from the iron ore train will make a white cocky all stain and rusty. And rich boys and the royal family, they needed water for their dusty money.
And second is Carbon Whore, a short film produced by the Youth Disability Advocacy Service in 2010 and starred the late but very talented Stella Young.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day outside. Blue skies all the way. Not so good for the drought, though.
True. Water catchments are down to 30.4%. We really need some rain.
We need that rain. So get out of bed and no more than 3 minutes in the shower.
Unless you bring a friend. This is the Luxmiths with T-shirt weather.
Hey, Mike. You're busy. All this sunshine's making me dizzy. When outside, all my clothes dry.
Yeah. What is something that you all got from watching these two very different communications? Did it have an impact on you that was stronger or more heartfelt than anything you've experienced with your uni or careers?
I've never sort of engaged with climate change as an issue in terms of music or art. So this was something new to me, and I have to say I connected with the song quite a bit, the Urala especially, and it has this nice little story. I had to look up the lyrics, but it felt very powerful in a way, but I wouldn't say it had a formative impact on me. My formative motivations to work on climate change and address the issue are something different, but this is, I feel, some sort of a supplemental motivation for me.
There's a real emotional impact that you get from music. And this track in particular, it's very upbeat and it's energizing. And I think that that word that you use, Fani, is really important, that it's powerful. And I think it is a totally different experience to reading an academic article because of that change to your emotional state that you get from music. And that happens whether or not you like music or whether or not you connect with it. It generally does have some sort of emotional effect on you, and that's powerful. And I think that for me, like that track, I felt a sense of connection to, you know, one of the oldest living cultures, and that's a culture that values living in harmony with nature. So I started to think about the stories behind the music as well. So it had that effect on me too.
Yeah, Ewan, I had a really similar experience to you. I've been slowly over the past 2 years learning more about what it means to connect with water and what it means to have a relationship with water. I hadn't really thought about it too deeply before, to be honest. And so in listening to this song and listening to these, you know, the story about this river and like the injustice of one aspect, like the injustice of what's happening, but then at the same time, yes, what you're saying, like there's still this power to it, and it's not this song that's saying, it doesn't sound like they're saying, and then we have to give up. There's a real triumph to it that I actually find pretty inspiring as well.
So is content what's making us feel powerful? Or is the effect of music? What do you guys think?
I think there's a myriad of things that are going on. And I think each of us will be getting like power from different elements that the choir has brought to this song, or like brought to us. Like I grew up being engaged in environmental like campaigns and activism. So for me, I find so much of the beauty in this song is that they're taking you on that journey, and like you really hear it.
Red dust from the iron ore train will make a white cocky all stained and rusty. And rich boys and the royal family, they needed water for their dusty money. Gonna build a dam, gonna build a dam. They don't give a damn. Gonna build a dam on my mind.
Like, yes! Because it's but like you can feel it in how the song, it builds and it falls and you rise with them. And I think it's a beautiful representation of the feelings you get when you are passionate about a cause, any cause, because that's the ride that you go on, you know? You have hope, you have obstacles. Like, it's, I'm sorry, my words are not working, but... Yeah.
No, I really agree with you, Zoe. And I think, well, I think that that, I'm not sure if this is what you were getting at, but this is, but it made me think of like this sense of like solidarity. And like, I think academically or like politically, it can't always be as easy to show like, I'm with you. But you can sing that really, really loudly, like in this song. You can sing along and you can really kind of express that from the heart.
Yeah, I feel this song like in my chest. Like I feel my ribs empty and like I feel the heartbreak, but I feel the strength. And so you feel this song like talking about systemic issues, talking about colonization and talking about systemic destruction of the environment. And you feel that like pierce you and sort of like break you down, but then they simultaneously like heal those wounds and bring you back up with the power of community and art. And for me, having a really like strong history in campaigning, it's for me, this song really mirrors my experiences as well, even though I wasn't part of this campaign.
But don't you think then as well, though, it gives you a great song, though, that you can play when you have come home from campaigning or you're in the mood to be campaigning? Because that's another thing it made me think about is, like, when we're doing our uni readings or if we're at work, actually you're more likely to hear, like, the radio or we sit in silence. But then what about when we're out of work but we want to be in the mindset of thinking about these things? And I think that that's a really powerful aspect of music is that it can put you in the mood. You know, like,
I love that.
Because, like, I just started thinking to myself, what if I grew up listening to even just like 10% more songs about the environment than I did love songs? Like, would my brain have been more occupied then, you know, about these things rather than being like, well, you know, does he love me? You know, like.
I think what you said, Rosie, is very interesting in terms of if you're likely to listen to more of the songs or the content relating to environmentalism, you're more likely to engage with that issue more in a more personal level. Yeah, growing up, I also listened to songs that are more about fighting and and running around. So, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I think pop culture sort of influences you in many ways, because I remember watching movies that predominantly have a socialistic view on things that are happening around. And I remember feeling connected to the issues of farmers and fishermen and stuff like that. But I think the type of content you consume growing up will have a formative impact on what your beliefs and things are.
It does. I just say, I love that you all grew up as activists or with parents that encouraged you to be activists. It's pretty, that's incredible and amazing. I grew up just watching like The OC and Dawson's Creek. And I think that's why for me, experiencing these things now at a much older age, they really like capture my imagination and my attention, because this is the kind of stuff where I'm like, I really wish I had this growing up, or I really wish I had this. So it's so interesting to hear you all talk about how this has been part of your life basically like since day one.
Well, I also watched The OC though, not gonna lie. Didn't watch Dawson's Creek though, did watch One Tree Hill. I think also the beauty of having these issues in music is that it's a really easy way to disseminate language as well. So we become more familiar and less abrasive towards engaging in difficult spaces, perhaps.
I was just thinking that there's such a long and rich history when you think about the connection between music and protest movements and social change. And, you know, you think back to the environmental movement in the 1960s and 70s and popular music, like it sort of breached the gap between what millions of people were listening to and this huge movement that was growing, and it connected people who may not have thought about these issues before, but purely through the power of pop culture. And they created anthems, and I think that you really draw people into the debate, and that can be purely through the music, or alternatively, what you guys are talking about, it could be the other way around, that you are already involved in an environmental protest movement or campaigning or something like that, and the music gives you the energy to keep going. And it, I think these sort of movements need a lot of energy. They need people to stay focused and angry and wanting to create that social change. And I think that tracks like this are where you actually get power from listening to it. It's really exciting to me just to think about how it could be used in that way.
So would you go as far as saying then that sometimes music has more of an impact on you to feel like I'm going to go do something compared to reading an academic journal or like a heavier
combination,
like text like that?
Because you can feel something for music and then still not do anything about it. So the hard part is actually getting through to people and getting people to feel. And then once you're feeling, you might go away and read more about it, or you might listen to that track and then think, oh, what's it actually about? What are they trying to say? And look up and find out more about the band and what their connection is and what the issues are that they're singing about. So I don't know in isolation if just absorbing pop culture will inevitably lead to social change. I think that reading about it and going away and connecting with other people and talking about it and maybe using it in that anthemic sort of way is potentially where that change comes from. But I suppose beyond that, it has the potential to change social norms or just get people to think about life in a different way. Like, as you said, like if you're absorbing more songs that are actually about nature and about the world that we live in and what's happening to it, then does that lead to you just thinking about a whole range of things in a different way and going about your life in a slightly different way? And maybe that's powerful in an equal but separate way to actually being directly involved in action.
And building on that, a lot of this comes to also brings in validation and representation. I think it's important, like, you know, so like SpinFX Gum was set up by Felix and Ollie from the Cat Empire, and it's like essentially an organization that is giving a platform specifically to Indigenous youth who are making phenomenal music, because we've now sat here and talked about just one song for a while time. You can already feel the power. Listen to the track. We're going to drop bits in. And that being seen and seeing yourself in pop culture or in something that you didn't create and that you didn't have to manifest is so powerful and so healing. And for me, that's what Carbon Whore is. Like, I'd been in the environmental movement for like over 5 years, and I literally felt like I was the only person that I knew who was trying to battle with how my experience is so much different being because being a woman, like, I have a vision impairment, so like being a woman with a disability, like I feel really connected to both of those parts, but none of that was in discourse. None of that was seen or heard, and I always felt a little, not a little, I always felt quite ostracized because of that. And so I think that the healing power of bringing in storylines together and letting them sit in concert with each other is so healing for all of us, just as, you know, humans. I think we forget that part as well. We get so caught up in the systems, and these mediums really bring us back down to that raw emotion that we have that binds us together.
That was great.
Sorry, that was the best segue ever. Just going to say.
I didn't plan it.
Perfect. Couldn't have asked for a better lead up. But I think that what you've touched on is so, so important, is that sense of like representation and feeling seen in a text, I guess, because scientific journals and articles don't really necessarily get written with the idea of wanting you to feel like you're part of it or in it. Whereas, yeah, with like the song and with Carbon Horde, like you can actually try to the best of your ability to actually have an empathic connection.
And like even beyond the like living with a disability, just the journey of a young person trying to live as sustainably as you can in the context of which you exist. That's really hard. And we all put a lot of pressure on ourselves and our peers to do this. And it's really hard because there are these systems. And I've watched this short film literally more times than I have fingers and toes, and I've only known about it for three years. And for me, what's really resonating with it, with this video, with the short film now, is it's the last lines. Oh my gosh, spoiler alert for everyone listening, because I know that you're going to be watching it. You should watch it now. Pause the video, watch it, and then come back. Okay, now you've watched the video. But that the final line when she's, you know, she's so down, and they're like, well, I know that this guy has an assistance monkey. And they're like, oh, this sounds like a cool idea. And then Stella's like, wait, isn't that animal cruelty? And it ends. And I'm just like, oh, that is my life. You know, like every time we, you know, we think we find a new solution, and then it's like, oh, wait, it's actually kind of doing something else that we don't really want it to do. How can we improve? How can we keep being better? And that emphasis on the learning journey, a contextual learning journey, I think is really powerful, because so much of the chatter that sits outside of art feels like it's trying to get us to that ultimate solution. And like, we're not even at the penultimate phase yet. Like there is so much for us to learn. That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm really resonating with from that.
I just think there was so much that got packed into such a short film, and it was amazing. But I think it was,
yeah, 7 minutes.
For me, it was just about empathy and understanding what it was like to be in the shoes of the protagonist and to feel that feeling of trying to do the right thing, as you said, Zoe, and living your best green life, but not being able to. And that's actually just, it goes beyond the disability narrative as well. And I think for me, it started to think more generally about whether we focus too much on personal responsibility and individual actions in the environmental movement, and we don't talk enough about systemic stuff, and we feel guilty about everything that we do, and how we maybe should have a little bit of empathy for ourselves, because if we have the right intentions, we're not going to get everything perfect all of the time.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you about all of that. And I think I definitely agree with you that we don't spend enough time discussing or exploring the systemic issues that can really get in our way. And I think that was the powerful thing about this short film. Like, you see Stella Young, she's like, you know, meticulously rinsed and recycled all her cartons. She's turned off every switch. She's done everything. And then someone just comes in and just says, like, they basically say, like, stuff that I don't want to. And away the day goes. And, like, often that's how I feel it can be like with major corporations or government sometimes. Sometimes it feels like there's a big, powerful group of people out there being like, I don't wanna. And we're left picking up, you know, that personal responsibility of being
even
like,
just
but
on
I
a,
care
on
so
a
much.
Small level. I mean, every time I go downstairs to the bin room and I sort my recycling and put my compost into the compost bin and see a giant plastic bag in there, it's sort of like, what's the point? Like, everyone else in the apartment complex doesn't care. But you still try. I don't know. It can be dispiriting. So I really felt for the protagonist in that sense of like sometimes what you're doing can feel futile, but it's still important.
I did love the frame that she used, just coming to your point, Ewan, because it's almost contradictory. And this short film is quite old. Quite old, it's less than 10 years, but she says in the discussion, she's like, but everyone cares about environmentalism. She's like, I have to be part of it. And I love that as a sentiment as well, which completely contradicts your other, people who live and are putting the plastic bags in the compost, but everyone cares. And we're all just trying our best sometimes, sometimes we're not, but I loved that sentiment because so much, I feel like that sentiment is often missing and we care. We're still learning.
What about you, Fani? What did you think watching Carbon Whore?
I think what Zoe expressed is something that I'm really connecting with right now, because the first time I watched the video, I didn't know what to make of it exactly. I was a bit confused what's happening here. But yeah, feeling like every solution that we come up with has some sort of impact on it and feeling dispirited sometimes. Yeah, this is going to have a new different problem that we'll be tackling again. That's something I was thinking. And it's interesting to hear how these different mediums have different sorts of impacts on each of us.
Yeah, the music's almost... Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Keep talking over you.
Well, I have a confession to make.
Confession first.
Oh, sorry.
Confession time.
I have a confession in the sense that a couple of years ago when there was that whole craze about, you know, no straws, no more plastic straws in the ocean. And then there had been what, you know, had been characterized by the media as like negative backlash by disability and inclusion, you know, organizations saying that this has negative connotations for people who need straws. And for me at the time, I was like, well, it's a no-brainer. If you have to use a plastic straw, you have to use a plastic straw. The reusables or the other options are for, you know, for when you can. And like, I didn't think that it would need to be anything controversial. But in watching this, in watching Carbon Whore, it made me realize that there are certain aspects of like things that I might think like, well, no duh, like, of course things should be okay. Like, I don't factor in the amount of work or advocacy or reasoning people have to do to substantiate an opinion, because it can be so marginalized. And it's made me realize like how much work would have had to actually go into making sure that people who need straws for whatever medical or, you know, personal reasons didn't feel vilified. Because the campaign was so strongly like, you know, say no to straws, otherwise you're killing turtles. So it's made me really reflect on that, about how we make messaging seem like, well, everyone can participate, but can we? And like, do we? Do we make people feel like we're all in it together?
Yeah. And that last that last sentiment, Rosie, are we all really in it together, is a really important one to ask yourself. Because when we are thinking of how to act or trying to do things, everything will have an adverse impact. You know, there isn't, silver bullets don't exist. But being able to bring people into conversations and having people feel like their experience is valid and is welcome, not just welcomed, but accepted at face value, and not having to justify it and validate it and to bring it in with, you know, like a whole stack of textbooks, is so important. And I think that the environment movement still has a long way to go with being inclusive, particularly when it comes to like disability, class, race, and a whole other intersections of experience. And I'm sure that there are many more art forms that that will portray that sense of that duality of experience, like feeling like you will die on the hill of fighting for a climate equitable future, but you don't see yourself even being represented in these climate solutions, that you can't see yourself existing in the world where the current solutions are at. And that's a really devastating duality to be at. So it's important we all do the work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Zoe, I really agree with you about that.
Yeah.
And I think that when we reflect on these two pieces, so, you know, one sung by a First Nations choir, another from someone with a disability, these aren't stories that are commonly discussed, you know, in our university syllabus. Like, we don't learn about their context. We don't learn about potentially how these things have really affected what their research is. And I think that that's something that really is more powerful to me about, you know, these mediums compared to sitting down and listening to it, like reading a journal, because I feel like the possibility for empathy is so much quicker. It's right in front of us, as opposed to needing to Google the terms like empathy in climate change communication.
And I think they're all valid. I don't think that we need to be saying that they're in opposition to each other necessarily, but I think there is something intense and powerful about having that emotional connection that you get from film and music that just can't be replicated in the written word.
Yeah, this sort of takes me back to our last episode on messengers, where we had this discussion where we thought a messenger can be anyone, and hearing messages from different parts and feeling represented, as Zoe mentioned, would really bring out the things in you that makes you want to do things with regards to the issue. I think pop culture is right now taking a lot of the things from environmentalism and making stuff about it and normalizing caring about the environment, which I feel really good about. But yeah, I think we still have some way to go.
I was going to say though, like, funny, so with that, because in the past we've all kind of talked about contexts where we feel it can be a bit hard to bring up talking about climate change or talking about the environment.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting to hear what you say, that in a way things like this are good because it's popularizing it and it's making it more like commonplace.
Mm.
And you and I agree, it's not about, you know, either or one's better than the other, but I wonder how these mediums fare in making it easier to bring up conversations, because suddenly you can just play an album over dinner, or you can say, do you want to watch a movie with me?
Mm.
Which can be a bit easier than saying, let's talk about climate change. Go.
Yeah, I really agree with you on that point. Rosie, for these mediums are providing you those new avenues. Because I was, can't remember what I was actually watching or reading or listening to. I was consuming some form of media. And there were so many environmental metaphors to explain the stability of human-made structures like capitalism and like systemic oppression, and being like, these things are stable and static, you know, it's like the seasons just happen, these are natural processes. And then, and I think what these, a critical role that these mediums are also playing is transitioning ourselves away from nature being static and environment being static, and helping us to realize that there is like not stability there necessarily. We can't just engage in these systems and continue to have a stable environment. This has been a new revelation for me in the last few days. And I think that these new mediums are bringing us new storylines and metaphors to be able to more accurately portray our current context.
I love that. I love that so much. Because that reminds me of conversations we've had in the past about, like, you know, we think nature is out there beyond the door, beyond the window, but you're so right. Like, if you're working with it, like creating things with it, your relationship with it is always actually in flux, and it's a back and forth. It's recognizing like even something as like if you were to like draw a tree every day, you know, drawing the tree every day would mean having to notice it every day. It's not static, it's constantly like just living.
And you can't guarantee the pattern of it or the rhythm of our environment, because we've played too hard.
I guess what I want to ask was, like, were there any burning things that we really hope to bring up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say supporting the content that's coming out is something that I want to actively do and engage with it more, because I sort of engage with the issue just in terms of what we need to do and what are the solutions that we can find and how can we do it equitably. But for people to care about it, they need to feel a connection to it. And this can take many forms, not necessarily a piece of academic research, as you mentioned, Rosie. But so, yeah, supporting good content that's coming out is something that I'd like to personally do and encourage everyone else.
For me, I think that human beings instinctively connect through storytelling. We've discussed like the impact being greater and having much more of an emotional punch when you watch a short film or you listen to music. And I think that harnessing that power and making it a part of the movement and of our campaigning is something that that people really need to consider more. And also just that our lives can be greater just through what we listen to and what we watch, and maybe that doesn't necessarily have to feed into action all the time, but just about changing the way you think about the world in small ways and having that sense of empathy for other people.
Yeah, and that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. I've loved hearing what you've both said, like, because finding what I'm also hearing is the sense of like showing up and acknowledging or recognizing that there are so many people in this space, and that a really important thing that we can do is just support each other in our work. Like, that's a really that can be part of it. And it's like what you said, Ewan, that doesn't mean support doesn't always mean like, oh, and then I became vegetarian and I planted 1,000 trees. It can be actually like that. Part of it is I see the world differently because I'm experiencing other ways of seeing the world.
That leads beautifully into what I'm about to say, Rosie. You couldn't have done it better.
We're all about segues today.
I know, we're so in sync. I would just love to personally thank all of you, as in Rosie, Ewan, Fani, Emily, and Tim, because honestly, like last year in lockdown, like you all know, I was writing my thesis on disability inclusion and environmentalism, and all of like going through all of the different conversations with you all and being supported and seen by you all was literally everything. And I think that's, yeah, doing this episode has been really, really validating, but also like it's been quite emotional for me. And I'm just really glad to be on this journey with you all. So, yeah, thank you. Love you.
Zoe, that's so lovely. Love you too.
I love the restaurants you take me to. But there's just so much in stepping out from that academic space and realizing, just like, you know, you three have said, there's so many of us here muddling our way through and just literally being there for each other and sharing is so powerful, because it's a really difficult time in a pandemic, in late stage capitalism, in climate change. It's tricky, and here we are in lockdown again, and we're still, you know, supporting each other. And I think that there is volumes to be said for that, that, you know, research just can't quite hold a candle to.
Yeah, it's kind of like the art of life in itself. All right, well, I think now's as good a time as any to wrap up. So thanks everyone for listening, and
Bye. We'll
hear from you again soon.
This podcast has been created and produced by Tim, Emily, Fani, Ewan, Zoe, and Rosie, with support from the Climactic Collective. This podcast has been made for educational purposes only, and any advice and information presented is general in nature and does not consider your specific circumstances. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed by individuals do not reflect the views of the Climactic Collective. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a rating, as it helps others find us. If you're looking for more podcasts on similar topics, make sure to visit the Climactic Collective website, climactic.com.au. Thanks for listening.